Are you dreaming of a trip around the world? How about a trip around the world on points and miles? In today's episode, we're talking with a special guest all about her dream honeymoon around the world. Listen in to hear how she leveraged her wedding expenses to earn over 1 million points, then cashed those points in for a dream trip that would have cost over $50,000 out of pocket. Welcome to Points Talk with the Travel Mom Squad. We are three moms who've discovered how to leverage credit card welcome offers to get hundreds of thousands of dollars of travel expenses for nearly free. We've used credit card points and miles to take vacations to places like Hawaii, Paris, Greece, Maldives, Japan, and so much more. And the best part? We each still have 800 plus credit scores. Imagine being able to take the vacation of your dreams for nearly free. It's totally possible, and we're here to show you how. Hey, I'm Alex.
And I'm Jess. Let's talk points. Today, we have a very special guest joining us. You may know her as one half of Point Sisters on Instagram. Devin Sullivan recently returned from her dream around the world honeymoon. She's here to tell us all about it, how she booked it, the points she used, and where all she went. So Devin, welcome to the show. We are so excited for you to be here.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here too.
Yeah, we've had like you in our mind for a while to have on the show. One, because you have like a unique military background, which I think you're going to tell us a little bit about. And we saw this trip when you were posting about it on Instagram. And you guys did gorilla trekking, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I was just like, oh my gosh, she's living the dream trip. And it was unreal. So it was like, okay, what do we have her talk about? Because she's got so much good stuff to share. So I'm super excited for this episode. And just to hear all about it.
Oh, I'm very excited too to share all about it.
Okay, so we know that you went around the world on your honeymoon, but first let's start out with what cards you opened in order to rack up all of the points and miles you needed to make this trip happen.
Sure. So to plan my wedding, I knew that I was going to open up a lot of cards. And I'm going to back up just a second here because as a military spouse, I do get all the cards for free. And my husband and I were married before we actually had our ceremony. We got married in secret. So I was already a military spouse to be able to, you know, do two-player mode. And I would open up a credit card and then my husband would open up a credit card. And we would both get them for free. So the way, and then we got lots of referral bonuses as well because we would refer one another. And by we, I totally mean I just steal his identity. But
we can relate because we do the same.
So yeah, he mainly just asked me, you know, what credit card did you open today? And we're good.
And when you say you got them for free, you mean that you get the annual fee waived. And so it's basically like you're able to open these cards, even ones with $600, $700 annual fees and not have to pay that fee.
Exactly. So our first two credit cards that we opened was the American Express Platinum for both of us. And we got $150K per person. So $300 total. That right there was enough to get us our around the world ticket. Then every other additional credit card we opened up, which there were a lot. I'm pretty sure all of them are these. So multiple Chase Inks, business inks for ourselves, two American Express Gold cards, an American Express Hilton, American Express Marriott, the Hyatt card, Citi, Premier, Chase Preferred, and Venture X. So we opened up all of these cards within about 8 to 9 months as I was planning.
Oh my gosh.
My wedding. I know.
That's Jess level right there. I like how Jess is like, oh my gosh, like she doesn't do that last year.
I was like, if we're going to pay for our wedding, because we were paying for it in full anyway, I was like, we might as well get all the points from it. So just from our wedding alone, we got over 1 million points, including all the referrals and such. But again, just the American Express Platinum, which is a $695 card that we did not pay for because of our military status. Well, my husband's military status. The $150K each got us our around the world trip. We actually spent $145K each for 7 business class flights around the world.
And will you quickly just tell us what the process is for getting those fees waived? Because I know that this is not a military spouse episode, but we do have a lot of listeners who are in the military or who are married to someone in the military. And so I think it would be helpful just to hear, like, does it vary by bank? What kind of proof do you have to provide?
Yeah, so it varies by bank, and then it also varies by the state of which your spouse is a resident. That should make sense to military people, but basically, if just because we live in California, we get to keep our state of residence. So for example, my husband was an Ohio resident, I was a Nevada resident, and we don't pay California taxes. That's sort of how that works. But it really depends. With American Express, I just signed up for the card and it was automatically waived. When it said, what was my profession? I did put military, even though that's not my profession, but I put that. That probably helped, but honestly, most people I know, it's just automatically waived. Chase, it really depends. I had my Chase Sapphire Reserve for like 5 years before I even knew my husband, and they actually refunded all 5 years.
That's amazing.
My annual fees. Yeah. So I got
time to go find a military spouse.
I know, right? I got like $2,500 return from Chase and I had no idea what it was. So I called them and they explained. But that did have to do with the fact that my husband is from Ohio. It's very state specific for that one. But Chase, again, they'll usually just do it. If not, you just submit a letter to them virtually. And you just tell them, hey, I'm a military spouse. You provide your husband or wife's orders, and that's it. Then they just subtract the fee or give it back, refund the fee if they already charged you for it. Citi and Capital One, we do pay our fees. So I do pay and have been paying fees on Capital One.
Come on, but Capital One.
I know, so rude. but Citi was also automatic. So for me, they've always been automatic. The only one I had to submit something for was Chase. And that's just because I had it before I even knew my husband and was married.
That is awesome. I just learned something new. I did not know that I know you said it's state specific, but I didn't even know that was a possibility to get all of your past annual fees refunded. So that is amazing. Props to Chase for that. Okay, so we know which cards you opened. We know that you charged your wedding expenses to these cards and you were able to rack up over 1 million points that way, which is amazing. So let's move on to flights. I would like you to give us I know it's hard because the ANA around the world ticket is very complicated. I actually attended, so Devin and her sister Kelsey did a presentation at Travelmore conference in November that I attended, and it was all about the ANA around the world ticket. And my jaw was basically on the floor the entire time because it is amazing what you can do with, like, when she tells you how many points they each spent, your mind is going to be blown because it is so few points for what you get. It's very complicated, but just like pretend like we're 5 years old and you're explaining the ANA around the world ticket.
Sure. I will try my hardest to explain it as easily as possible. So basically what the ANA around the world ticket is where you get to go around the world and you can do it in economy or in business class or in first. But if you're being realistic, first isn't going to happen. But business class, lie flat seats is possible. And you really get to decide where you want to go, but you do have to hit each of 3 regions that ANA designates. So basically, if you look at a map, you're dividing it up into 3 sections. So region 1, region 2, region 3. You always start in region 1. That's North America. I'm assuming if you're listening, you're in North America. But if you're in Europe, you can call that region 1. It doesn't really matter. But region 1 is wherever you start. Then you have to go to region 2, which for me would be Europe and Africa. And then you have to go to region 3, which is Asia and Oceania. So you do have to hit 1 country minimum in each of the regions. So in region 2 and region 3, minimum 1, you can hit more. I personally hit more because I would recommend hitting more. But that is sort of the very broad scope of how the ANA around the world works. And what's really cool about it is that it's distance-based. So the further you go mileage-wise, so you know, if you're going 22,000 miles around the world where you're flying actually 22,000 miles, then you're going to pay $125,000 for that ticket. If you go more than that, it's $145,000. And then it just keeps going up from there. But it's one of these tickets that you can have up to 12 segments. So visit 12 different countries if you want. You have a year to do it. And you can do this all in business class.
So the $125,000 that you just mentioned would be for business class for all segments.
Correct.
That's unbelievable.
I know. I also want to plug that Kelsey and Devin will book these trips. They have a service where they will book these trips for people. And I, when the time comes for me to book my ANA around the world ticket, I am 100% having you do it because
100%.
I will save so much time. I like. When you were giving your presentation, I was like, this is amazing, but I will not be booking this for myself. I will be paying.
It's definitely not like beginner level.
No.
And Devin and Kelsey are like next level. They know their stuff as well as anybody else I know.
We have booked a lot of these in 2023 alone. I think we booked 18, something like that, maybe 20. But yeah, so they're definitely difficult. They're more advanced. I shouldn't say difficult. They're time consuming. Yeah. And knowing all the rules and understanding the map is very, very important.
Do they take a lot of flexibility with travel dates and countries you want to visit? Like, do you have to be pretty flexible?
You have to be the most flexible.
Okay.
Which is like part of our service is bringing people down to the real world of what is possible. And I don't say that rudely in any way, shape, or form. It's just, you know, sometimes I'll get on the phone with someone and we always do an initial 30-minute to an hour session of just making sure you even understand what is possible with this. Because I'll have people say like, oh, I want to go to Australia and then I want to go to, I don't know, Peru and then I want to go to Europe. That's not how it works. Like, that's not possible. So it's very much like managing expectations as well.
No, for sure. We totally get that with some of the bookings we do too. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry that I have to tell you this, but that's not actually possible. And, you know, you can't blame people because, you know, you just see people taking these flights on Instagram and you're like, okay, well, then that's how that works. I should be able to do that fairly easily. And it's like, oh, actually, these take a lot of work and flexibility to like piece it all together. And it's,
It's very difficult and very complex, but it's a lot of fun. You have to like puzzles, and I really like puzzles.
Yeah. So if you want to go around the world ANA, don't come to us. We won't be able to help you. But Devin and Kelsey are your girls if you want to book around
Thank
the world.
Thank you. Yeah. I will link your website in the show notes. So if you're interested in getting some help with this, you can reach out to Devin and Kelsey because they – do the ANA reps know you by now? Like when they answer the phone, are they like, oh, it's Devin. Hi, Devin.
Honestly, they should. My sister jokes around and she says that I call ANA for fun, which is not true because you're on hold for like 2 hours. But I have lots of questions that I need answered. And especially at the beginning when we were getting really good at this and just making sure we understood all the routing rules and stuff like that. I needed to talk to the reps. And so there were lots of calls to ANA made.
Okay. So we know that you obviously booked these flights through ANA, which means I'm assuming you transferred your points from Amex, as Amex is the only transfer partner of ANA. So tell us a little bit more about how that process went. I think with ANA, the transfers usually are not instant. And so that's a little bit nerve-wracking. But tell us how that went, how many points you ended up using. I assume you flew in business class all routes, but you can fill us in on the details.
Okay, perfect. So I have a very hard rule that I won't even start searching, whether it's for me or anyone else, for an ANA around the world trip or really anything with ANA until the points are actually in your ANA account. And that's because once you have decided you want to do this, there's really no waiting to see how we feel about the routing. It's no, this is what you get. You're going to go or you're not. So I make everyone transfer their points. I have an idea of how many points they need. I use the Great Circle Mapper tool. I hope I'm saying that correctly. But that helps me figure out how many points they're going to need based on how many miles I think they're going to fly. And then I'll have them send over the points to their ANA account. That usually takes 2 days. I just booked my mom a trip. It's not an around the world, but I had to use ANA points. And it took my account 2 days. And my account is pretty active. So about 2 days is what it takes. And then when it was time to book, so for searching, I did the searching. It would be too difficult to explain how to do that on this session. But once I found the route I wanted, then I called ANA. As I said, there's usually about an hour and a half to 2 hour wait time on hold because you can only book this over the phone. And you get to listen to really great elevator music. And then, and that was pure sarcasm. And then once I got through, I then just basically spouted out to the ANA rep every single flight that I wanted. I told them I wanted to book an ANA around the world. I told them what I wanted to book, and they found the segments, and then they calculated the mileage and also my taxes and fees. And then they booked it, and I just had to pay over the phone as well.
So how much did you end up transferring total for you and your husband?
So it was $145K per person. So what's that? 290K total for both of us. And we had 7 flights. So from Atlanta to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, Addis Ababa to Zanzibar, Tanzania. Then we did our own thing and we went Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda. But we did that on our own because it was pretty cheap tickets, actually. Then it was Uganda to Malaysia, Malaysia to Singapore, Singapore to Bali, Bali to Taiwan, to Taipei, and then Taipei LAX. And all of that was in business class for both of us.
So 290,000 points for both of you to do all of those flights in business class. And how much were the taxes and fees?
So I got really lucky. It was $417 per person. However, as I mentioned, both my husband and I opened up credit cards where we had $300 travel credit. So I used our travel credit. And because we're military and the 300 is actually a real 300 that we get for free, we paid $117 per person out of pocket.
That's insane. Like, you can't even barely fly. You can't even fly round trip to Europe.
I was like, I can't even get to Vegas for that round trip. And I'm in San Diego.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But like, even the points price, price is just crazy. Like, that's so cheap. Yeah. Of all of the flights that you did, what was your favorite flight of those? Because I'm assuming you tried out a couple different airlines, probably.
Yeah. Well, actually, we only had 3 airlines. We did Ethiopian Airlines, which everyone told me I was going to hate and that it was horrific. I thought it was fantastic, but I think I'm easy to please, to be honest. Like, just give me a bed and a sky and some champagne and I'm happy. But then we also did Singapore and we did EVA. And I have to say, EVA was, I mean, it was really nice. It was like a 7-course meal or something like that to begin with. And then the blanket. Oh, my God. That blanket was the best. I'm not even a blanket person. I also get hot on airplanes. But it was like the... I almost stole it. Like, I'm not even going to lie. It was such an awesome blanket.
Oh, that's so awesome. I feel like, one other thing I meant to say. A lot of people like that are listening and maybe they're big new to this. They might be thinking like ANA, they fly all those places. As Kelsey just said, she flew various airlines. So all of the airlines have to be part of the Star Alliance, right? To do the around the world.
Yes. So one of the things I get all the time is that people think ANA is flying the plane. So Alex, I'm glad you brought this up. They're not. So I actually didn't even fly ANA, but I booked through ANA. So I flew Star Alliance Airlines, and that's how you can book it. It has to be on a Star Alliance airline.
And also, I think you've mentioned that you can't backtrack, right? Like you have to travel east basically, and then you can't go back west once you've crossed that point.
Yes. So you can do some minimal backtracking within the same region. So again, we have three regions. If you go to Europe, you can start in Warsaw and then go to London. The ANA rep will most likely allow that. Now, you're wasting mileage flown, so it's not smart to do that, but you can. You can't backtrack from region two, go to region three, and then go back to region two. So that type of backtracking is not allowed.
Got it. Okay. So far we've got amazing flights for $117 and 290,000 miles, which is, like you said, two Amex Platinums cover those flights, which is unbelievable, like amazing cent per point value.
And even if, you know, not everybody's going to be in military or have a military spouse, even for, you know, someone like me who isn't, paying those annual fees to get 300,000 points to be able to do all of those business class flights for that cheap is so worth it still.
100%. Like, I would still pay the fee even if it wasn't free, because this was way more than what $1,400 that the two annual fees would have cost.
All right. So let's move on to hotels now, because you make Pam look like an amateur with the amount of hotel hopping that you did on this trip. How long was your trip total? Like from the day you left San Diego to the day you got back to San Diego, how many days total was it?
It was, I think, 45 or 46 days.
Okay. So a month and a half, you were
so like
gone.
This was a legit honeymoon. This was.
Yes.
Incredible.
My honeymoon was like a week. So yeah. That is amazing. Okay. So you said you flew. So I assume you positioned to Atlanta from San Diego. And then was Tanzania your first destination where you had hotel stays on points?
Yes. So we started in Zanzibar. And Zanzibar was totally done on points. We didn't spend $1 on hotel stays for our five nights in Zanzibar. But we did hop around to three different places, mainly because I wanted to see the entire island. And I'm sort of stupid. I thought it was a smaller island than it was. So that was my fault. Maybe should have done a little bit more research. But anyway, we started up at Nungwi Beach Resort, which is a Marriott property. We stayed there for two nights. Should I say how many points that was, or just continue?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
I mean, Marriott has dynamic pricing, so no promises that you are going to find it for the same rates. But I think it'll just give people a good idea of like around what to expect.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, it was $28,500 per night, which honestly was a steal. And we got upgraded because, as I mentioned, I also had my husband open up the American Express, Marriott, and Hilton cards. So we had, oh my gosh, platinum and diamond status for any of those hotels that we stayed at, which was really nice. We did get an upgrade everywhere, and the amount of wine that was given to us was on another level over this like almost 7 weeks. Honestly, I haven't been able to drink wine since. Then we went to Le Mersenne, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, Zanzibar, which is also a Marriott property. It was probably my favorite property just because of its location, only because of its location. But that's all, I think I said it, but also a Marriott property, and that was $29,500 per night. And then last but not least, we went to Park Hyatt Zanzibar, where Jess was so kind to give us a guest of honor booking. And that was at a Hyatt, so $23,000 per night. And we stayed there for two nights. And that's actually where we spent Christmas Day, which was really nice. So that is basically Zanzibar. Then the next two weeks, we didn't use points. So for our safari in Tanzania, Kenya and gorilla trekking in Uganda, I actually paid out of pocket. I could have done it on points, and I had enough points to do so. I just, honestly, I had already planned this entire honeymoon myself, and I just wanted someone else to plan something for me. So I didn't care that I was spending money.
That's a lot. You know, after 7 weeks of planning, you know, all of your nights and all the flights, I don't blame you.
Yeah, I was just like, you know what? And it was somewhere I hadn't been before. I was like, I just prefer that someone else figures this out when I'm going to be in the middle of literally nowhere.
Yeah.
And sleeping in tents. Really nice tents. My gosh, I thought they were fantastic. I was not expecting that. But yeah, so none of that was on points. So I'm not sure if I should really mention
that.
So how did
you have like a travel agent book this, or you like, how did you find these hotels?
So I did my own research on finding a travel company, and then they just quoted me and I paid them. So yeah, I guess they were like a travel agent. You can think of them that way, but they did everything for our 12 days of safari.
So, and that was different countries that you did, right?
Yes. And they organized it all with all the different drivers. So we did have a different driver in each country.
Yeah. Maybe just tell us a little bit. I think people would find that interesting. I know a lot of people, even if you're not using points, are interested in going to Africa and doing a safari. So maybe tell us just a little bit about the different safaris that you did.
Yeah. So the safaris were probably my favorite. I absolutely love Tanzania. It is heaven on earth. Granted, we went in wet season, so everything was green and lush, and I think just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. If you go in high season, which is the summer, it's not going to look like that from what I've been told. But
when did you guys go? What time of year was this trip?
It was December and January.
Oh, that's right. You said you were there Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we left December 18th December 18th, and we got back January 28th, I think. Those are the dates, I think. But anyway, we flew from Zanzibar straight to Arusha, which is a very small airport, if you can even call it that, more like a landing strip. And our driver was there waiting for us, had a sign. His name was Lucky. He was fantastic. Love Lucky. I still talk to him today on WhatsApp. Like, he will text me things. And yeah, I love him so much. And then he just took us all around. He knew where our hotels were. He managed everything. He made sure we were fed every single day, three times a day. It was more food than I think I've ever eaten in my life, to be completely honest. And then he ended up driving us to Kenya. To the border where we met up with our other driver. We crossed the border, got our passport stamp, all that fun stuff. And then in Kenya, our driver then drove us to Masai Mara, where we then did three days of safari. And then we saw everything. I mean, like the big five. It was absolutely amazing to get to experience this. And we had our own safari truck. So there were places, I think, for 8 people in the truck, but it was just me and John. So everything was private. It was just for us. And that's true across our entire time in Africa. Then we went to Uganda. We flew to Uganda. We had the option to drive 10 hours each way to where the gorillas are. And I nixed that idea real quick.
We support that.
Alex wants to do that 10-hour drive with her kids. I want to go do
the gorilla trekking. I just don't want to do the 10-hour drive. So I'm glad to hear there's another option.
It's a little pricey, but I was like, I've already saved so much money at this point. I don't care. And my livelihood, and really John's livelihood, because he would have been the one who got all my wrath, was more important than, you know, the money we spent. But there are planes that will fly you to about an hour away from the gorillas, which is not nearly as bad as 10 hours. And we actually ended up getting a private plane because we were the only two on it, which was really nice. And then we drove to the – someone picked us up there. We drove to the gorillas. And then we did our gorilla trekking, which was the hardest experience of my life, but pretty amazing. And I was almost killed, actually.
Oh, dear.
By a gorilla. Tell us more.
So now I'm like, wait, should I? When you say hardest thing, I'm like, yeah, maybe I'm not cut out for that after all.
I will say, they say that in Rwanda, it's easier. Like, you'll see them really quickly and it's not bad. But in Uganda, it's called the impenetrable forest, and it is called that for a reason.
I'm just imagining Alex with her bad back, like hobbling up.
No, I will be in Rwanda. Yeah. I'm taking the easy way.
But yeah, it was the steepest hill I've ever seen. Like a hill, cliff, probably cliff. If you pushed me, I would have died. It was very intense. There were thorns everywhere. I mean, if you saw my hand, I ended up having to crab crawl at one point, and my hands were just full of splinters and thorns, and it was quite painful, to be completely honest.
I'm good, like, seeing the gorillas from afar. I don't think I need to.
Yeah. Devin, just send her a video of what you saw, and she'll call it good.
Yep. I know, right? I mean, once we got there, so we started downhill, which I hate. I love uphill, but we finally got there after like an hour and a half, and then we were with the gorillas, and well, again, it's rainy season, so not only was it muddy and disgusting, but it was, there was a lot of grass, so I stepped like over something, and all of a sudden, the silverback gorilla charged me. And I had no idea why at first, but then I realized that where I had been standing, because I did run when I was charged, which apparently you're not supposed to do, there was a baby gorilla, like, steps. I mean, I could have touched it if I – obviously, I didn't want to, but if I had wanted to. So understandable, the dad got very upset that I was so close to its baby. And so it was probably the, like, scariest experience of my life. But it was also – beautiful. Like, it was absolutely amazing to see the gorillas up close, and the babies were playing. Like, they were the most playful, hanging off of trees, swinging off of trees. It was really amazing.
And does sometimes, from what I hear, it can take a lot longer to reach the gorillas, right?
Yes. My friend, so small world, but my old roommate from San Diego texted me saying, "You're in Uganda?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm in Uganda." We ended up booking not only the same hotel or lodge, but the same gorilla trekking experience day. And we ended up meeting up there. We took 3.5 hours round trip. He took 8. I would have died. I would not have made it. So, yeah.
Okay, another question. What did you do? Did the gorilla just stop, or did the guides like do something to get the gorilla to not come after you? Like, that's terrifying.
So apparently, because I guess the guides speak gorilla, that's also sarcasm, but apparently the gorilla didn't want to hurt me. He just wanted to like make it known that he was there and that he was watching me and was not happy with what I was doing.
And you're like, I got the message.
And you're like, I was like, I got it. And then I got like chastised for running, though they never told us not to run to begin with. And we had a full briefing before.
Yeah. Well, you're like, I'm there, somebody who's not heard, don't run, to just stay completely still when a giant gorilla is charging towards you.
Exactly. So I like go straight into John and I'm like, okay, it's over for me. Like, that was basically what I had planned, that it was just, that's it for me. But yeah, he calmed down. He ended up like standing right sort of where I was. And he gave me the side eye and he kept watching me for a while. But then he went back to sleep. He was tired. Yeah. So, yeah.
He's like, all right, she's not that much of a threat.
Yeah.
She knows I could take her.
easily. So yeah. And that was Uganda. So it was amazing. The story is sort of, it's funny now. It was scary then. But yeah, after Uganda, we then went to Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. This is where I made sort of a mistake on my booking. I did the calculation wrong and we only ended up staying, I think, 3 days in Kuala Lumpur. And honestly, I would have given us more time in Malaysia because we really liked it and we wanted to explore more. We just didn't really have time. But we stayed at Alila Bangsar Kuala Lumpur. And it's also a Hyatt and it was 5,000 points per night to stay there, which was absolutely amazing. It was,
which is like no points at all.
Yeah.
That's so cheap.
It was a no-brainer. This hotel room was ginormous. Like definitely bigger than our two-bedroom apartment that we have in San Diego. It was crazy. And yeah, for $5,000 a night. And then we were upgraded on top of that. So it was just craziness all around. But then we made our way to Singapore and we stayed at the Maxwell Reserve Singapore, which is a Marriott property. This was a little bit more expensive. It was $33,000 per night, but we did really like it. It was in the middle of like Chinatown. And then Indonesia. Indonesia is where we did all the hotel hopping, to be honest.
How many nights did you stay in Indonesia?
The majority of the time that okay. we were in Asia.
So it's not as crazy to hotel hop because you're like, didn't get a new hotel every single night, right?
Exactly. Like we were places 2 nights, 3 nights, and then we would move. But yeah, we actually ended up staying in Bali. We just really enjoyed it. And so we started at the Hilton Bali Resort with our Hilton points. We just had like extra randoms lying around and we're like, let's use them. And that was $37,000 per night. They also do dynamic pricing. So it could, some nights were a lot more than that. Some nights were that, which I really liked. It was a really nice resort. It's super family friendly. We weren't expecting that at all because we certainly were not there for family time. But there were like water slides and kids having fun. And yeah, it was really good. It was really nice. And then we made our way to Alila Ubud, which is literally like honeymooner's paradise.
I've heard so many good things about that property.
Oh my gosh.
I want to go there so badly.
So beautiful. So incredibly beautiful. And actually, their pool was ranked as one of the most beautiful pools in the world by Condé Nast. It was pretty crazy. And that was $8,000 a night, my favorite part about this hotel was our shower and our bathtub was actually outdoors. So it was like the coolest just experience. I loved it. It was really, really nice.
These prices are so low, like even at all the hotels. Like yeah. even, and I know that's kind of can be typical with Asia.
Yeah.
But like you don't find Marriott hotels that are nice in the US for 33,000 points a night, or like the ones you sit in Tanzania, or even that Hilton for 37,000. Those are such good rates. Like, so it seems like your points just will go a lot further there.
They go so much further. I mean, there were ones that were $3,500 per night. Like that's as low as they went, yeah. which is the lowest you can get a Hyatt property. Yeah.
And these aren't like junky places. You were staying at nice places. That's what's
Yeah. I don't think we stayed in one 4-star hotel. They're all 5-star, beautiful hotels. I mean, all the staff members wanted to do everything for us. And I was like, please don't. Like, I feel uncomfortable. I can carry my carry-on because I only had a carry-on for this whole trip.
Which that could be a podcast episode in itself because everyone is now like, how in the world did she go 7 weeks in a carry-on?
Yeah.
That's so you true. Might need to like spill a little bit of that.
will do. But just to finish up the Bali hotels, because actually Bali was probably my favorite other than Africa, like all three countries in Africa. But our next hotel was by far the craziest experience. It's called Spa Village Resort Tembok. It's up in North Bali. It is a Category 4 hotel with Hyatt, or it was. I'm not sure it is anymore with the new it's an SLR,
SLH.
SLH. Thank you. So many acronyms.
So and, now like, you'll have to book it with Hilton.
Exactly. Or yeah, is it Hilton or Marriott?
Yeah, I can't even remember. But I'm sad because like Spa Village, you had me at Spa Village. That's all I need to hear to know that I would enjoy this resort.
It was fantastic. So I had two free Category 4 certs. So I used two of them. And then John and I loved it so much that we decided to add on another night for 12,000 points. And just to explain why we loved it so much, not only did we have the entire property basically to ourselves, but we got a free 50-minute massage every single day. We also received a like welcome massage, a welcome foot massage, a welcome shoulder like relaxation thing. Then they steam bathed our feet, which was a really cool experience. I mean, the list just goes on and on of the things they gave us.
No, I remember when you posted your stories about this place and I text Jess. I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to go here. Like, what is this?
Is this the
Jess
one that
and
had?
I, we like our massages and yeah. Pam too.
Is this the one that had like the tub with the flower petals? There was like one I feel like that had, it was like the tub looked like artwork.
That was in Ubud, actually, Alila Ubud. I actually went outside of Alila. I did it with a different resort, but I could have done it with Alila as well. But yeah, the flower bath. Oh my God, that was amazing. I loved the flower bath. And we also got
I need to go to Bali like now.
I had a massage almost every day we were there because it was $7 for an hour. So
that's
I was
unreal.
Like, I'm like, I'm available.
We're going to Singapore. And I'm like, we should have gone to Bali instead.
I know. Singapore was so expensive. John was like, do you want to get – John is my husband. John was like, do you want to get a massage? I was like, no, we're going to Bali in 3 days. Like, I can hold on. but yeah, Spa Village Resort Tembok was absolutely amazing. And to really only spend 12,000 points for three nights was magical. So I'm very glad we were able to do that before they went over to the dark side. And then last but not least, and I feel like this one's important to say, and it's just because I don't know about you all, but the $200 hotel credit with the American Express Platinum, I find somewhat hard to use sometimes and pretty much impossible in the United States. But we actually, I found one in Bali. And we got three nights for $68 because we got $200 back from the Amex credit. And we also got the free upgrade. It was an IHG. It's the Hotel Indigo Bali Seminyak Beach. It's the longest name ever. But yeah, so I thought that was really cool. I ended up, you know, getting one of the nights free and there were all these like promotions. So I was really excited with that and getting to use one of our $200 Amex credits that are hard to use elsewhere.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I really even used mine because I would look at hotels in the US and it would be like $600. I'm like, okay, well, I'm still not paying $400 to stay there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and I forgot, in that we also got $100 back in like food and beverage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was nice. It was I basically made money.
So. Well, you 100% made money because you didn't have to pay the annual fees.
That's true.
Very true. You really came out ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, that was basically our entire trip. Then we went to Taiwan. I was a little ill in Taiwan. So we went very slow for those 4 days. I wouldn't say much about the hotel we did end up staying at. It was the Aloft Taipei Bay 2. And it was basically 13,000 per night for that one, which wasn't bad, but it wasn't my favorite. It's a little outside of the city. And I should have just booked the Hyatt when it was available, and I didn't. So,
well, sometimes you win
some, sometimes you lose.
Speaking of your favorite, so if you had to choose one of the hotels on points that you stayed at to return to, which would you say was your favorite out of all 13 of them or however many it is?
Oh, Spa Village Resort Tembok. I mean, that was a magical 3 days.
All right. So it sounds like the next Travel Mom Squad retreat needs to be in Bali.
Yes. But flying business class and not premium economy, which is what we're doing to Singapore. And I'm stressed.
It'll you got be fine. This. I believe in you fully.
Thanks, Devin.
You're welcome.
Okay. So if you had to give us a rough estimate of how much money you saved by using points and miles for this trip, like, do you have an idea of if you had paid cash out of pocket for your flights and all of your hotels, what that would have been?
Yeah, so I don't even need to give you an estimate. I know the exact amount because I kept a very detailed spreadsheet of this. So our total trip would have cost, this is not including food, $51,914. We paid $13,568. And again, had I not paid for the safari, we would have only paid a little over $3,000 for our entire trip.
That is so incredible. Awesome.
Yeah.
I cannot. Nope. That is wow.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And also the amount of points we used. I used 716,000 points for all of our hotels and all of our flights for 7 weeks.
That's like not very many points. Yeah. I don't feel like for
that is like nothing.
Yeah. So I think I had like 500,000 left over from
you've got like your 1 year anniversary trip that you already got the point for it.
Exactly. Or like our 3 year anniversary since this was a very delayed honeymoon. But
yeah.
Everyone makes fun of me. They're like, Devin, isn't this like your 17th honeymoon? I was like, okay, let's do an 18th then.
Yeah, so. I'm not complaining about getting to travel with my husband.
Exactly.
On all these amazing trips. Okay. Really quickly, tell us how you did carry on for 7 weeks. Because we get this question a lot because we always travel carry on, but we're gone for like a week to 10 days. So give us a little splurge because I know people will DM us asking us, how did she do that?
So I always get people who ask how I did it and then how my husband did it. So I'll say both. Me, mainly dresses. Like, honestly, that's what I pack. That's what I enjoy packing. People will always tell me it's not possible to do in the winter. Incorrect. You can 100% still do it in the winter. The only difference is you're going to be packing like thermals, a few thermals, and you're good to go. And then just a few layers and you're fine. I also roll everything. So I am like a master roller. And it is true that when I get to my destination, some of my stuff, especially the material that gets very wrinkly, will be literally just a little wrinkle ball. But I travel with 3 ounce wrinkle release spray. I think I use Downy and I just spray it. Then when I'm showering, I put it in just in the, not in the shower, sorry, in the bathroom so that the steam from the shower will also release it. And then they're good to go.
I love that because I don't like ironing. So that's a great tip.
Yeah, I hate ironing too. And then my husband, it's just a lot of t-shirts, shorts, pants. I mean, again, it's just rolling, like really, really rolling things.
Yeah.
And then we do laundry. I got a lot of questions. Like the amount of time I was telling people I was doing laundry just seemed so weird. Because if I told that to you in my everyday life, you'd be like, Devin, we don't care that you're doing laundry again. But everyone was so intrigued that we were doing laundry. And how did we find it? Really just Google. I would Google it, find some laundry places and go. Most of the time it was anywhere between, you know, $5 and $10. And that includes them washing it for you, drying it for you, ironing it, folding it, and then returning it back to your hotel.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
it is. For that.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you a packing cube person or no packing cubes?
I am not. I was going to try it this trip, but yeah. I just didn't.
Well, it sounds like you got it figured out. You don't even need them. You're good.
It ain't broke. Don't fix it.
Yeah,
exactly. So I did get a new carry-on, though, to try. We did the away bigger carry-on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
have those all too. Three. Love them.
All three of us have the Away bigger carry-on.
And it was fine in your overhead compartments on any smaller planes too?
Yeah, no problem at all. I mean, it was definitely overweight for sure, but I have a hack to get around that. And I didn't even have to expand it. So I even had an extra 20% space that I could have added things in.
So how do you get around the weight thing?
I check in online so that nobody sees me, and then nobody can weigh my bag. So when you don't have to go up to the counter, you're talking to less people. And when you're talking to less people, there's a lot less ineptness that happens. That's not a word, but we're going to go with it.
I like it.
I do that too. I try to get my mobile boarding pass as much as possible. Another trick I have is you may not have had a jacket on this trip since it was on the warmer side, but I'll like drape my jacket over the handle to kind of mask the size of my bag.
Yes, exactly. So
that is another trick that I will use. I love it. I love how much we've covered in this episode. I feel like we've covered
military. No, there are so many things.
Keys. We've covered ANA around the world. We've covered like 13 different hotels, packing, getting around weight limits on planes. I'm also going to... Yes. Devin, if you're okay with it, I'm going to get the info from you for the trip planner that you used for your safari. And then I could include that in the show notes because I feel like we're probably going to get a lot of questions about who you used. People always like using a reputable company that they can be referred to. So I will get that from you and include it in the show notes. So we just love how Devin turned her large expenses into a dream honeymoon thanks to credit card welcome offers. If you're interested in turning your travel dreams into reality for pennies on the dollar, make sure to check out our brand new webinar, How to Get Your Next Vacation for Nearly Free. We will put a link to register in the show notes. Thanks so much for listening to Points Talk with the Travel Mom Squad. Make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button from wherever you're listening so you never miss an episode. Want to start jet setting even faster? Follow the links in the show notes to learn about everything we discussed in today's episode. And to stay connected and follow along, follow us on Instagram at Travel Mom Squad. We can't wait to see where in the world Points and Miles take you.